Okay, here's another message by E.C. Moore. It's called Knowing the Hope of Your Calling.
Thank you, Brother Morgan, and may I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. Will you turn with me today in your Bible to Colossians chapter 1, and I recommend that if you do not have a Bible handy, okay, you get a pencil and a piece of paper and be prepared to write down the scripture references as we give them to you. As you know, that have been, you that have been watching, that we've been discussing rightly dividing the word of truth, and we found in certain passages in the Bible that the Bible is divided basically into three parts. As I have them on the board up here, according to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, he said that you in time past were without hope and without God on and on, reference to the Gentiles to whom the book of Ephesians is written. But he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometime before off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says that God Almighty hath raised us up, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his on and on and on. And I've got the wrath to come up here, because that which is following the church, which is the body of Christ, is the tribulation, is the wrath that's going to come on this world. And you'll find this referred to in Matthew chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 6. Now in Colossians chapter 1, notice in verse 8, a reference to an individual, verse 8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Paul is writing to these Colossians, who are Gentiles, as we are, that were saved by grace, and the man that led them to the Lord told the Apostle Paul about it in prison, and Paul is writing this letter unto them, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, that is, of their faith in Christ, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. My point in all this is that you cannot walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing unless you rightly divide the word of truth. You have to be filled with the knowledge of his will to walk worthy of the Lord. Notice the parallel in Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Paul is writing from prison. He's writing to the Ephesians that had been saved after he left there. And he says in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks to you, make a mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power, what should he believe, and on and on and on. In other words, you need to know some things. You need to have some knowledge about God's will where you're concerned before you can walk worthy of the Lord. Now, to illustrate what I'm saying, there are those today that do not know anything about the will of the Lord or the church with the body of Christ. There are those that are preaching, and I see them on television all the time, and they obviously do not understand the will of the Lord for the body of Christ. For instance, look at Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. If you compare passages in the Bible, you'll find then, and I'm going to say that this out here represents the foundation of the world, whatever that is. You will notice that there is references to the kingdom, and Jesus Christ is the King of Israel, and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that gospel is preached in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and so forth. And you'll notice that those that are called by that gospel are those that were chosen since the foundation of the world, and that is very clear in the Bible. The Bible believer believes the Bible meant what it said. They were called since. They were chosen since the foundation of the world. But in our text here, he says that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Notice in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Well, what is his will pertaining to the church? Go to Acts chapter 8, and we'll just believe the Bible means what it says. Acts chapter 8, notice in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good of them and of God, to them who are ever called, according to his purpose. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, those which are in the church, which are the body of Christ, that are redeemed by the blood of Christ at Calvary, those that are in the church, which are the body of Christ, that are there because they believe the gospel of Christ, that is, that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again, all of those were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world based upon his purpose. What is his purpose for those that are in the church, which is the body of Christ, called by the gospel? His purpose is that they be conformed to the image of his Son, Lord Jesus Christ. He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. That is his will. If you are saved by grace through faith, and you're not saved by grace through faith, if you believe in working for your salvation, if you believe in doing any single solitary thing to bring about salvation, then you're not saved by grace through faith. Those that are saved by grace through faith are those that believe that Jesus Christ did everything that needed to be done at Calvary to save you from your sins and to save you from hell. Christ finished the work. When Jesus Christ bowed his head at Calvary and said, "It is finished," the work of your salvation was complete. It was finished. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, that you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, on and on. If you're complete in Christ, there's nothing more to be done. So, let me go back again. We that are in the church, which is the body of Christ here, are the ones that believe that Christ died for our sins at Calvary. We are not working for our salvation. We are working for God because of our salvation. And we were chosen in God, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, God having predestinated us to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his own will. Now, the passage that we're referring to is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Now, there is no way that you can take, as we looked before now, and I want to do this again, there is no way that you can take Matthew chapter 7 and prove by Matthew chapter 7 that an individual in this age can lose their salvation. There are those today that take Matthew chapter 7. In that particular instance, Jesus Christ referred to a judgment somewhere where someone would come before him, and that individual would say, "Lord, Lord, Have we not cast out devils in thy name and done many wonderful works in thy name? And on and on. And at that judgment, the Lord would say unto that individual, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. An individual that believes the Bible and rightly divides the word of truth, an individual that studies the Bible with an open mind, that has any spiritual insight at all, knows that church, which is the body of Christ, was chosen in God before the foundation of the world, and they know that according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, that we are built upon the foundation of God. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knows the ones that are in the church with the body of Christ. He knew us before the foundation of the world. He foreknew us. He knew that we would trust Christ as our Savior, and having foreknown that we would trust Christ, He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and He predestinated us as believers to be conformed to the image of His Son. You cannot have the same God that chose us before the foundation of the world and predestinated us. You cannot have that same God that knows us in Christ now. You cannot have that same God later on saying, I never knew you, without making Him some kind of a goofball. If God knew us before the foundation of the world, and the passage says that He did, if God redeemed us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says that He did in Ephesians 1 verse 7, if we are saved by grace through faith and baptized into the body of Christ, become members of His body, and if, as the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, Jesus Christ, having redeemed us, is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, if those things be true, there is no way that God could ever say to you that believe in Christ as your Savior, trust in Him and Him alone the Savior, there is no way that God could ever say to you, I never knew you, when He does know you. Christ cannot intercede for you now without the Father knowing you. Therefore, the Father cannot say to you ever, I never knew you. Why do you listen to those preachers preach their false doctrine? Now, why all this? The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And people make fun of that. There are even some fundamentalists today that they're always using sarcastic remarks about we Bereans. And about we emphasize rightly dividing. Well, you better believe I emphasize rightly dividing because that's what God said.
Hello.
Rightly dividing what? The word of truth. What is the word of truth a reference to? It's a reference to the gospel. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I realize I'm going back over ground that we've covered in classes before, but we need to do this again. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, steady to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The truth is referred to in verse 18. Concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrew the faith of some. Please observe verse 25. And notice verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach patience, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God permit peradventure, will give them repentance through the acknowledging of the truth. He's not saying to the acknowledging of the Bible. He's saying acknowledging of the truth. There is a truth for this age in the Bible referred to as the gospel. Hold on to 2 Timothy and go to Ephesians 1 again. In Ephesians chapter 1, notice please, verse 12. Ephesians 1, verse 12, Paul said that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, verse 13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with our Holy Spirit upon us, which is the earnest of our inheritance, on and on and on. Now, the gospel of verse 13 is referred to as the truth. The word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. I know then the word of truth is the gospel. Go back, please, to 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, we divide off the gospel that is given to the Apostle Paul. But again, in 2 Timothy, notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and look at verse 6. For of this sort, those back there that that are lovers of their own styles, they're all the things that are referred to without natural affection, totally going on. They have a form of godliness, not a power thereof. Verse 6, for of this sort of they which creep into houses, and eat captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Notice in verse 8, now as Janus and Jambres listed Moses, so do these resist the truth. They resist the gospel of Christ. They constantly resist the gospel of Christ. I get letters from them challenging me to debate. Somebody is always wanting to debate me as to whether we have eternal life or not. Somebody is always wanting to debate as to whether Christ is going to come again or not. On and on it goes. But you know what is more for our situation here is the reference to those that are always trying to debate the gospel. In fact, they want me to prove we have eternal life while they deny that we'll ever have eternal life. And that makes me know they do not know the gospel. They cannot know the gospel and believe they could ever be lost again. No way can that be true. So, we must rightly divide the gospel. As I referred to before, there is in, like in Matthew 20, a reference to the gospel of the kingdom. There is in Acts 20, the gospel of the grace of God. There is in Romans chapter 1, the gospel of God. There is in Romans 1:16, the gospel of Christ. There is in Romans 2:16, which is a reference to Paul as my gospel, which is the gospel we are referring to here. Then there is in 2 Timothy 4:3, our gospel. There is in 2 Timothy 4, verse 4, the glorious gospel. There is in Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9, another gospel, and that's what the religious system preaches today. They preach another gospel. Not Paul's gospel, another gospel. They preach a good news that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died at Calvary because he was wickedly killed. They do not glory in the cross. But God saved the dead and raised him from the dead. And now if you will pray through and get the power of the Holy Ghost in you, you can live so that one day God will receive you. That's another gospel. That's not the gospel of Christ. That's not the gospel committed to the Apostle Paul. That is the other gospel referred to in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. It includes believing that Christ died for some of your sins and that the Holy Spirit is going to give you power to live without sin once you believe in him, and that you're to keep the commandments, and on and on and on. That's another gospel. People are always referring to falling from grace. You know, it fascinates me, their attitude about Galatians chapter 5. You see, those that believe in falling from grace today believe that you fall from grace because you commit some sin. Well, those of Galatians 5, check it out and see. Don't just trust me. Look ahead and pray. Those of Galatians 5 fell from grace because of keeping the law. You can't be in God's grace while you're keeping the law. You can't be in God's grace while you're keeping the commandments to be saved. You can't have it both ways. You can't be saved by grace and be saved by the works of the law at the same time. It's an impossibility. You're either saved by grace or you're saved by works. Well, you're not saved by works in this age. Romans chapter 11, verse 5 and 6 is clear on that issue. Then there is the gospel of the uncircumcision in Galatians 2. The gospel of the circumcision in Galatians chapter 2. And then there's the everlasting gospel of Revelation chapter 14. Now, what is the gospel that is Paul's gospel? And it is Paul's gospel, and it is referred to the truth. See, he said, study to show myself approved unto God. A woman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is that word of truth that Paul preached? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, take that in one hand, and take Romans chapter 2 in the other. That will be Romans chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, in Romans chapter 2, notice in verse 12, Romans 2 verse 12 says, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Notice the parenthesis now in verse 13 through 15. Skip the parenthesis, come to verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now let's do it again. We're going to read straight through and skip the parenthesis. Verse 12. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. As many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. What is Paul's gospel? Turn to to 1 Corinthians 15, and in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you. Verse 2. By which also you are saved, verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that it was buried, and that it rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So then what is Paul's gospel? It's the good news that Christ died for our sins. Peter did not know that in Acts chapter 2. In fact, Peter didn't know it back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In fact, Jesus Christ in Matthew 16 says, I'm going up to Jerusalem. They're going to take me with their wicked hands. They're going to crucify and kill me, but God's going to remember. And Peter said, not so, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they came to get Jesus, Peter pulled out a sword and began to fight. He's not going to permit them to crucify the Lord. And then after the crucifixion, the morning after the resurrection, Peter ran to the tomb because he had heard that Jesus raised, but he didn't believe it. According to John chapter 20, he got to the tomb, it was open, and he ran in. And it wasn't until then that he even believed in the resurrection. So in Acts chapter 2, he preached the resurrection of Christ. He did not preach that Jesus Christ died for anybody's sins. He preached repent and be baptized for remission of sins, having to do with the second coming of Christ. Acts 3:19, he said, repent you therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of affliction shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus, whom the heaven must retain until the times of restitution of all things. Church of Christ just missed the whole okay. I mean, they just missed it all. Number one, they don't believe that Jesus Christ paid for all the sins. Number two, they don't believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. They deny both things in one script. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 19, Acts 3:19, repent you therefore be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In other words, how can Christ come again without his presence being known? In other words, redemption for Israel, salvation for Israel, which Peter's preaching in Acts 2, is not until the second coming, and the wrath of God is going to fall before that. But our hope, and that's what this is all about. Paul said that you may know the hope of your calling. What is the hope of our calling? Well, we that are called by the gospel of Christ have a hope of our vile bodies being changed and being made like in the glorious body of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. He said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that are in their graves that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are going to rise. They're going to stand upon their feet. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them clouds to meet the Lord in there. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Philippians chapter 3 says, our vile bodies will be changed and made like a glorious body. And that's all in one accord with Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. Romans 8:28, but we know that all things work together for them that love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. What is his purpose? For whom he did foreknow, knew us before the foundation of the world. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, you that believe in Christ as your Savior, trusting him and him alone to save you. You that believe that he died for all your sins at Calvary, and you're trusting him to save you. You've committed your salvation totally and completely unto him. Your vile bodies will be changed, and he will make you into the image of his dear Son. That's why Christ died for you at Calvary. That's why God Almighty chose you before the foundation of the world. That's why God Almighty predestinated you. And on, that's what it's all about. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe what? That he died at Calvary and paid for all your sins. There are no sins that he didn't pay for at Calvary. And when he said it's finished, it was finished. You can be saved right now. Anybody that will come to God through Jesus Christ, God will save right now. When you come to God through him, believing that he paid for all your sins, that all of them have been done away with, they've been taken out of the way, nailed to the cross, along with the law, will you believe in him as your Savior right now? Trust him right where you are. I thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.